I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. We end today's show on the Ocean City Boardwalk. It's a hot summer night, and the resort's famous wooden walkway is packed, not just with tourists, but also with street performers. There's musicians of all kinds. There's artists, there's magicians, and a growing number of costumed cartoon characters. They're actually everywhere on the boardwalk this year. Basically, you get your picture taken with SpongeBob or Mickey Mouse or Olaf the Snowman, and you give them a tip afterwards. What's interesting, though, is on this night, for every one street performer that I saw that was the traditional musician or magician, I saw at least three costumed characters. But more on that later. Now, we've taken you inside the ongoing saga between the city and its street performers. Most recently, last year's very publicized court case between boardwalk violinist Bill Hasey Jr. and the town over the city's noise ordinance and First Amendment rights. And in 2010, another boardwalk spray paint artist named Mark Chase sued the city for his right to sell his wares on the boardwalk. And in both cases, Judge Ellen Hollander ruled in favor of the respective street performers. Lieutenant Mark Pacini is with the Ocean City Police Department. He leads the night unit that patrols the boardwalk. And he's the guy that's monitoring what the street performers are doing. He says the two court cases have changed the game on the boardwalk in regards to street performing and how the city is able to regulate it.
Prior to that decision, you know, we would have guitar players, we would have saxophone players, you know, we would have artists that would just play their music anywhere on the boardwalk. After that decision, it seems as if performance and people expressing themselves has multiplied exponentially.
And I've noticed that too. On the boardwalk, you see a lot more caricature artists. You
Correct.
See a lot more henna tattoos. You see a lot, and this has been sort of a big debate in recent weeks, is you see a lot of these costumed characters that literally aren't performing. They're really just kind of standing there and posing for pictures. Talk about the increase in those types of performers.
Like I said, after the Hollander decision with Mr. Chase, you know, the performers have increased exponentially from henna drawing, tattoo artist, to not more than one spray paint artist, to a myriad of other artists. And actually, I probably get one or two emails a day asking, hey, can I do this on the boardwalk? Can I do that on the boardwalk? It's kind of like a 24-hour job for me. And if it's something that I'm not sure of with respect to, is it an expressive art or not, I have to run it by the city solicitor.
Right.
And so we're not violating anybody's rights. We let them go, and we give it a green light until we determine whether it is or isn't. And in doing it for 2 years, I've come pretty accustomed to what is and what isn't.
Right.
Under.
Well, give people an example of what isn't acceptable and covered under these new, you know, parameters.
Well, along with the court decision was an injunction issued by the judge, and she basically laid out what was permissible and what was expressive and what isn't. You know, an example is she decided that selling jewelry was not. Selling suntan lotion, you know, on the boardwalk. Auto parts. Can't sell auto parts.
A hot dog stand.
You can't have any food up there. That's covered in different areas of the ordinance, but there's no food that can be sold on the boardwalk.
But as far as costumed characters go, that was covered under the injunction, and they are considered just the same performer as a guitar player or violinist.
The costume characters were not specifically spelled out in the injunction, but with the advent of the decision and those are materializing on the boardwalk, it has been approved by the city solicitor that is an expressive art and they are allowed to be up here. As they are in Hollywood,
yeah.
As they are in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
As they are in New York City, really no different.
Sure. Has it made your job more challenging when the permit process that went through the city where everybody, you knew how many people were up here, who they were, you know, based on the permit that they had to carry to perform on the boardwalk. Now that that's gone away, has that made your job more difficult?
I don't really think so. I think we have more performers, and people still ask us, hey, how do I get a permit to perform on the boardwalk? Well, the judge struck that down. You know, you don't have to have a permit to express yourself.
Sure.
And she struck that down, and consequently, no one has to go to City Hall and get a $1 permit to be able to be up here and play the guitar or perform in general.
You know, it's widely known that there's sort of a, you know, the people that dislike the street performers the most, I guess as a collective group, is not so much the tourists, but more so the boardwalk merchants. You know, their complaints are that these folks are up here taking eyeballs away from their businesses. They are, you know, taking attention away and therein also taking money away. But also, you know, the fact that they don't pay the high rents and they're pretty much here making money without sort of the same even playing field as they as merchants. Outline this struggle. How long has it been ongoing?
That's been going on for 2 years. And quite honestly, you know, this has been a real learning experience for me, particularly learning, you know, the nuts and bolts of the First Amendment. And the fact that our performers, these performers aren't paying rent. They don't have to pay licensing fees like some of the merchants do. They don't have to pay sign fees. It doesn't enter into it when you talk about the First Amendment. The merchants and the people that walk up and down the boardwalk say, well, they're not paying taxes. Well, that's not the jurisdiction of the police department.
Yeah.
You know, that's the jurisdiction of the federal government or the state government. And if they're not paying taxes, that's on them.
In past years, I've talked to boardwalk performers who realize and know what many boardwalk merchants feel about them because they've been confronted oftentimes, you know, in verbal disputes that some claim get very heated and basically say, get away from my store. Have you experienced any of that over the years?
Certainly. We've experienced it between merchants, rarely between merchants and the performers. It's really usually between the performer and the performer that's trying to get one of our coveted limited spots, which they're supposed to be at the street end.
Right.
And occasionally you'll have one or two or three, you know, three at the street ends, and occasionally it gets a little bit crowded, and we've had confrontations between street performers claiming their land on city property, which is really not their land.
One of the big talking points in this debate is the flow of people, you know, and the city years ago made that move to put the street performers on the street ends to ensure that there wasn't bottlenecking going on. Do you think that it's helped the flow with the city moving the performers to the street ends? I mean, was that a good move on their part? And is that pretty much at this point, based on the judge's decision,
well, that's
all,
exactly,
all the city can do at this point?
Just so you know, in the initial lawsuit, the city testified very successfully that they needed North Division Street for ingress and egress of emergency vehicles. The judge granted that based on the fact that we could give the performers some other area to go. So, the street ends are good. The North Division is off limits to everybody. And with respect to the crowds, it's a bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even more of a challenge for the law enforcement because the people that are blocking the boardwalk are not the performer, it's the tourist.
Yeah.
And if you look at the elements of disorderly conduct blocking the free passage, you know, we can't arrest the person that's putting on the show and the people are watching them, you know, because they're blocking the free passage.
Sure.
And we certainly are not going to arrest tourists, you know, or cite them because they're blocking the passage while they're watching the street performer. So it's really a give and take between us and the street performers to get them to take care of their own crowd.
And you know, I know literature is given to the street performers at the beginning of the year, you know, outlining for the new folks, you know, what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. Do they adhere to those rules, you know, largely? Obviously, there's always a few bad apples that are trying to, you know, you give them an inch, they take a mile, so to speak.
Well, it's not just at the beginning of the summer. We get a lot of new ones in here. And when I encounter somebody that doesn't know the rules, I keep a pamphlet in my pocket and I hand it to them and say, here are the rules. And I tell them very explicitly, you'll only get one warning. The next one will be a citation. And that citation can run anywhere from $25 to $1,000. And they get that real quick. They understand that.
So you pretty much know, not either on a first name basis or you recognize them, the performers that are here pretty much on a given evening in the summer.
Yes, I do. I don't know them on a first name basis, but, and let me tell you why I don't know them on a first name basis. If they're not violating an ordinance, I don't encounter them. I let them go and exercise their First Amendment right.
And while the two court cases solidified those First Amendment rights for performers, not all of them are pleased with the new environment those decisions have created. And that takes us back to those costumed cartoon characters. Dan is an escape artist. He's like a boardwalk Houdini. He's been here for about 2 summers and says he makes somewhere between $100 and $150 a night. I asked him if he considers the costumed characters performance artists. His answer?
Not at all. I mean, there's statues out there that actually make their stuff. Like the skeleton pirate, he makes his own stuff. That's his art. Everything he does, she's playing her violin, he juggles. I mean, but there's costumes out there that just stand there for tips.
Yeah. Do you think it's right that they are sort of protected under that same law that protects you to perform here on the boardwalk?
I feel like they should add some more art into it. I don't think that it's fair for them to just stand out there. Yeah. Anyone can do it.
Not necessarily anyone. This week, the U.S. State Department passed down a directive concerning J-1 visa students. After it came to light that many of the people underneath the SpongeBob or the Mickey Mouse mask were actually foreign students making tips, which apparently is a violation of their visa, according to the State Department. Anne-Marie Conestabile runs the local branch of United Work and Travel here in Ocean City.
Basically, with the J-1 program, you have the individual, the J-1 student, the J-1 participant has to be supervised by the mere fact that the employer becomes the supervisor or the sponsor. If we're local, like ourselves, you know, we supervise our students. If not, they have to continue communication with the students. So there has to be some type of supervision, first of all. Secondly, students that are on the boardwalk, they're using this probably as a second job, most likely. And what they're doing is they're trying to gather as much cash as possible, which is, again, not under the J-1 rules for them to be working undocumented and to be working with cash without reporting it, tax reasons, and so on. So for those reasons alone, it becomes an illegal position for a J-1 student.
Conestabile says when she informed some of her J-1 students that they aren't allowed to earn money in an unsupervised position, they claimed that they were actually hired to wear the costumes on the boardwalk, and they were paid an hourly wage. Lieutenant Puccini says this is a rumor that's been circulating all summer, but nothing has come of it thus far. But as he points out, if the rumor is true, and people are being paid to be street performers on the boardwalk, that's highly illegal based on town ordinance, and it's absolutely taking advantage of the First Amendment rights the recent court cases ruled to protect in regards to street performers. But then I met a young man we'll call John. His name isn't actually John, but he asked for anonymity because he claims he's scared. John was hired to be a costumed cartoon character by a local body piercing shop. He says he took the gig because he desperately needed cash and he couldn't land any other local jobs.
This kid I know, I was walking on the boardwalk and this kid was like, "Hey, do you want a job?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "What do I have to do?" And he's like, "Dude, dress up. Like being a mascot. You get paid $9 an hour and you get paid like every day."
You have to fill out any paperwork or do any sort of interview? It's just you're a body, you can put this costume on, and you're out there.
Yep. Yeah, it's no paperwork. It's all under the table, and you get paid apparently every day. But what they do is they get you to work one day and then say that you're going to get paid the next day. So you have to work 2 days in a row before you get paid.
And if you didn't fill anything out, you know, how do they have a record of what they're paying you out as far as, you know, your hourly wage, so to speak?
They don't have anything.
So John went out on the boardwalk. He was dressed as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. He says he worked for 3 hours, made more than $100 in tips during that time, just standing there. When he was finished, he took the money back to the shop, hung up his costume in a back room of the store he says was filled with many other costumes, and he turned in his tip bucket. He says the woman behind the counter counted the money in front of a security camera, and he was told to come back the next day to get his wages for the 3 hours he worked. But John had already decided that this job wasn't for him.
I really didn't want to do it, but I needed to make some money. And like, I saw some people that I knew after I took the head off, so it's just really awkward and embarrassing.
Back on the boardwalk, Lieutenant Mark Puccini is face to face with Donald Duck.
You need to take it off. I need to speak with you.
He stopped the person for standing in the wrong spot on the boardwalk, essentially on the property of a popular hot dog stand. Underneath the mask is a 16-year-old girl. As Pacini continues his questioning, she keeps looking over her shoulder back towards the hot dog stand.
Ma'am, where are you licensed at? You gotta have a, how old are you?
16.
You don't have a driver's license in any state. Who are you looking at?
I work here.
You work for them? Are they paying you to be out here? They are. Who's paying you to be out here? Ma'am? Oh, okay. We'll go with you.
A night manager for the hot dog stand comes out and leads us inside. They say the costume belongs to the owner, and they admit to paying the young girl minimum wage to stand out in front of the store for tips. Pacini levels with them.
Here's what I'm going to tell you guys, all right? This is a violation of city ordinance. He's severely in violation of his business license to have someone working on the boardwalk, paying them, and then collecting money. So I would discuss that with him. Your performance is over. I'm asking you to cease and desist. If I see you out here again, in this instance, I will give you a citation up to $1,000. Are we clear?
Can I ask this one question?
Sure.
What we did wrong that the Mickey Mouse and all of them didn't do wrong?
Because Mickey Mouse's are independent. They're not being run by a business.
Outside the shop, Pacini tells me his belief that this instance is less about profit and more about the businesses making a point.
They believe the merchants are getting a raw deal. They're very upset that a person who doesn't have to pay rent, doesn't have to pay licensing fees, doesn't have to pay any of that, is able to be out here and collect money.
So they're doing it themselves?
That's correct.
If you can't beat them, join them.
Well, they're joining them illegally, which they shouldn't be doing.
We reached out to the hot dog stand's owner, Brandon Phillips. He told me that he became so frustrated with performers standing in front of his store that he bought the costume and hired the girl to simply secure the location. But he says the move was never about the money. But it seems there are other businesses on the boardwalk that are using costumed characters for the money. And that leads us back to John, the young man who was hired by a local body piercing shop to be a costumed street performer. So the other night, I put my recorder away and I followed him into the body piercing shop on the boardwalk when he went to get his money for his 3 hours of work. I stood there quietly and stared at a rack of hookahs and cheap sunglasses as John and the clerk argued over the amount of time he worked. And after a few phone calls back and forth to the clerk's boss, John was given $12 cash, or payment for only an hour and a half of work, and he was told to take it or leave it. Outside the shop, John pushed his bike down the boardwalk and told me that he got played.
What I found messed up, if it's just a guy doing it, like that's legal. Like he has the right to do that. But if a shop comes in and ruins that for that person, like if that's his only way to make like money, that's messed up.
And what John calls messed up, the police call illegal. And there's an ongoing investigation as we speak on this matter. So while a judge can levy a court decision that protects the rights of street performers to be able to showcase their talents, express themselves, and make money on the city's famous walkway, it seems the unintended consequence of that ruling is that it opened the door for illegal and fast cash rackets to operate under the protection of that very ruling. And it's all happening right there, out in the open, on the Ocean City boardwalk, hidden behind a really cute and cuddly cartoon character who's posing with your kids. To learn more, click to our website, wamucoast.org. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection.